Our reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 17. We're going to read verses 17 through 19 first of all, and then after we talk about these verses, we'll read verses 20 through 24. Let's begin by reading, starting in Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. In this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, so far he has talked about what they are to believe and know about the church. He has talked about the nature and the doctrine of the church itself. Now, beginning in chapter 4, verse 17, and going through the rest of this book, he talks about their life. He talks about some very practical things in their everyday life as Christians. And so, in the first part of this book, from chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 4, verse 16, he talks about the nature of the church. And now, beginning in chapter 4, verse 17, and going through the rest of this book, he's going to talk about their life as Christians in the body of Christ, the church. This passage, like many other passages, reminds Christians that they have separated themselves from the world and they need to remain separated from the world. This is very important. And oftentimes you will find that Peter and Paul and other New Testament writers remind and really stress to these Christians that they have to remain separated from the world. Romans 12, verse 2, where Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world." James 1, verse 27, "Keep yourselves unspotted from the world." And many other exhortations in the New Testament remind Christians in every age that we are to be different from the world and we are to remain different. So in Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul said, "I don't want you to walk," that is, you are not to live like other Gentiles live. Now, these other Gentiles, and remember that he's writing to people here who are primarily Gentile Christians, but these other Gentiles that were not Christians, were very depraved in their religion and in their morals. They were full of superstition, they were full of wicked customs, and they were full of immorality. Now, what we want to do in this lesson is to look in particular at some of the wording that Paul uses here to describe just how depraved these people were and just how wicked they had become. And in verse 17, notice that Paul says that you're not to live as these other Gentiles live in the vanity of their mind. So think first of all about the fact that this pagan or heathen life was vain. It was empty. It was foolish. Consider all the idolatry, all of the false gods that they believed in, and all the superstition that we read about, for instance, in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 14, the Bible says that the people at Lystra thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods who had come down from heaven. In Acts chapter 15, we read about some abominable customs that Gentiles were guilty of, such as drinking blood and all kinds of fornication. In Acts chapter 17, we read about superstition and idolatry in Athens. In Acts chapter 19, we read about Ephesus. And we find in Ephesus, witchcraft was very common, and there was the superstition in Ephesus. In Acts 19, verse 35, about Diana. That superstition is that her image had fallen down from Zeus. So their religious beliefs were full of all kinds of superstitions. It was vain. It was very empty. It was foolish. And when you look at Greek philosophy, you're looking at something that was very empty. The philosophy of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates was empty. The philosophy of the Epicureans and the Stoics that Paul encountered in Acts 17 was foolish and empty. And a great commentary on what we're looking at here in Ephesians chapter 4 is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. As a matter of fact, it would be good for you to go back and read Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, in connection with what we're looking at here in Ephesians 4. But let me just read with you a few verses from Romans chapter 1. After Paul said that nature itself declares the power and the eternality and glory of God, so that there's no excuse for a man being so superstitious and idolatrous or unbelieving, here's what he said about the people in his day, and remember that he's describing many in the Gentile world in Romans 1, beginning in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now that is very similar to what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians 4, verse 17. When he talks about the vanity of their mind, he said they became vain, that is, empty and foolish, in their imaginations. And the word imaginations there means their reasonings and their speculations. And that is one of the best descriptions of what Greek philosophy actually was. But notice that he goes on to say in Romans chapter 1, and their foolish heart was darkened, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Down in verse 28, he says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and so God gave them over to a reprobate mind, that is, a useless, unfit mind for making moral judgments. Now let's go back to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 17, 18, and 19 and see how that Paul says some of these very things here when he writes to these Ephesians. He said in verse 17 that the Gentiles lived in the vanity of their mind with all these superstitions and with all these foolish ideas. Now we may think that the world has changed. We may think that the world is different today 2,000 years later. But there are still millions of people in the world today who are full of all kinds of vain, empty, foolish ideas. Buddhism and Taoism teach the burning of useless paper money and the burning of incense to ward off evil spirits. Hinduism teaches reincarnation. There is still voodoo in some parts of the world. And what about America? We have psychics, we have palm readers, we have mediums, we have horoscopes, we have the occult, we have witchcraft. All of these are empty, vain, and foolish. And not only this, many people live in the vanity of their mind because they are only living for this world. They're looking for the wealth of this world, the pleasures of this life, and the achievements of this earth. And all of those things are vain. They are empty, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now let's go on to the second expression that Paul uses in verse 18, where he says, having the understanding darkened. This is the understanding of moral and spiritual things. The more that a person lives in sin, the farther away from God he becomes, and the less sensitive and understanding he is to spiritual things. And this is what Paul was talking about in Romans 1, verse 21, when he said that their foolish heart is darkened. Their sense of right and wrong is darkened. Their sense of what is fair and what is not, what is good and what is bad, is completely turned around. They're like the people in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, who call evil good and good evil. Sin has darkened their souls. And it's not just the conscience that is darkened. We're going to talk about that in the words that follow. But it's the understanding. Their understanding is darkened. Now, it's not that these people don't have any intelligence whatsoever. They may be highly intelligent and able to reason through any number of things. But when it comes to matters of right and wrong, when it comes to spiritual truth, they are slow to grasp those things. They don't really understand. Why? Because sin has darkened their understanding. And notice then that Paul talks about the fact that they are alienated from the life, that is, the spiritual life of God, through the ignorance that is in them. And we need to notice and think about what the word ignorance means here and in many other passages. Many times when we look at the word ignorance, we think of a lack of knowledge. We think of people that don't know what they ought to know. And it can involve that and especially lead to that. But the word ignorance in the Bible is not just a lack of knowledge. It is a lack of thinking about things that the person either knows or can know. In other words, ignorance in the Bible is oftentimes a person deliberately ignoring what he could know. It is a person who chooses not to think about things that are right. It is a person who doesn't want to be aware of and conscious of spiritual truth. He doesn't want to think about God. He doesn't want to think about his soul. He doesn't want to think about eternity. He doesn't want to think about right and wrong. He just wants to do what he intends to do. And so he ignores, and he is a man of ignorance when it comes to God's word. And then notice what he says in Ephesians 4, verse 18, in the next description, where he talks about the blindness of their heart. When we think about a person being blind in a physical sense, we're talking about a great handicap because a person cannot see where he's going. But when we consider that the Bible says that some are blind spiritually, that is far worse. Jesus said that the Jews of his day had closed their eyes. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. And these Gentiles were also blind by choice. We know that again because of what Paul said in Romans 1, verse 20. He said that the invisible things of him, that is the invisible attributes of God, are clearly seen. That is clearly seen by somebody that is honest. And so when the Bible says that these people had a blindness of heart, that was a chosen blindness. And to show us just how bad that blindness was, and we're talking about a self-chosen, self-imposed blindness, notice what he says in verse 19 in some very sobering and frightening words. He says, "Who being past feeling." These Gentiles were past feeling. They were unable to feel anything. He's not talking about their body. He's not talking about being numb and paralyzed in a certain portion of their physical body. He's talking about their soul. He's talking about their conscience. Their conscience could not feel anything anymore. They could not feel pain. They could not feel remorse. They could not feel guilt over their sins. Why? Because that's what sin will do to a person's soul. There's a passage back in the Old Testament that describes what Paul is talking about here. It's Hosea chapter 4, verse 11, where Hosea said that whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. And Paul is saying here that these people had been involved in lasciviousness and uncleanness and greediness. In other words, a totally selfish life. The life of an animal, so long that they were like animals. They didn't have a conscience left. They were past feeling. They were so dull in their conscience and their heart was so hardened that they could not feel any pain. They were past feeling. And the Bible shows in many other passages that that can and does happen. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul describes some whose consciences were seared with a hot iron. And that simply means that they were unable to feel anything in their soul or in their conscience. In Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, the Bible describes some apostates as being impossible to renew again to repentance. In John chapter 12, verse 39, the Bible talks about Jews who were so hardened that they could not believe in spite of all the miracles that Jesus had performed. The Bible talks about some whose eyes are full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. This is the sad state of other Gentiles, and Paul said, you're not to live like those other Gentiles do, because as we're going to see, beginning in verse 20, they have learned a new way, and that new way is in the gospel of Jesus Christ.